Tir is Daf Vav in Masechta Pesachim. We're going to begin on Daf Hey Amud Beis, the first wide line. As we mentioned in the previous shiur, the Gemara quoted a long brisa and is analyzing piece by piece. Amamar Yochel Matman, you would think that you could hide somebody's own chametz. Or the Kabbal Pikdainus Menachrim, receive deposits of chametz from a guy, Tamalai Malay Yamatzai, that you may not, even on these circumstances, have chametz. Ask the Gemara, Ha'amit Resha, but the beginning of this very Braisa taught us, Shulchay Ataroya, it's only your own chametz that you're not allowed to have. Ava Ataroya Shalachayr Mishal Gavoya, you may have the chametz of a guy or of Hegdish. So here it says you're not allowed to, and here it says you're allowed to. Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. Hard the Kibbal Alech Reis. The Braisa that says, the part of the Braisa that says you're not allowed to have the Chametz of a Goy is when somebody accepted responsibility for the Goy's Chametz. Hard the Loi Kibbal Alech Reis. If you did not accept responsibility, then you are allowed to have the Goy's Chametz. Now, as a Machloikus Rishonim, what is the definition of Kabbalas Achrayis? Some Rishonim say that if somebody is even just a Shomer Chinam, that which the halach is that a Shomer Chinam is only chayiv in pshia, in negligence, that is already considered Kabbalas Achrayis, for which you're not allowed to have a goy's chametz. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that Kabbalas Achrayis means that he's at least a Shomer Sachar. A Shomer Sachar is somebody who's paid to watch somebody else's item. That in that circumstance, there's a chiv for Geneva Aveda. If the item is lost or stolen, the Shomer is chayiv. But if somebody is only a Shomer Chinam, he is not considered Kabbalas Achrayis, because although he is responsible for Pshia, the reason he's responsible for Pshia is because somebody who's a Pshia is considered that he was negligent. Negligence doesn't make you a shomer, doesn't make you considered Kabbalas Achrayis. Tosfos in Masechet Baba Metzia is even more makel. He holds that somebody is only considered Mekabel Achrayis if he's chayv even for oinsim, like a shoyl, somebody who borrows an item, that he's chayv even for accidents, for something that was beyond his control. Because, explains Rabbi Chanan, according to Tosfos, that is the only way somebody is really considered that he was Mekabel Achrayis, that he's a Shomer. The other situations, that his Chiyuv is only because he's a Mazik, not because he's a Shomer. There's a Machlokes HaRishonim. If Kabbalas Achrayis has to be accepted explicitly, or Kabbalas Achrayis is relevant, even if he did not accept it explicitly. Just somebody left something in my rishus and I accepted it, is that already considered Kabbalas Achrayis? The Chak Yaakov draws a distinction between if somebody accepted something from a Jew, where there the halacha is that even though he did not explicitly accept Achrayis, the halacha is that there is a Kabbalas Achrayis, and by a Goy, there has to be an explicit Kabbalas Achrayis. There's another Shailand Rishonim, if this Kabbalas Achrayis requires a kinyan. We know that in halacha, for something to be considered valid, there has to be a Kabbalas kinyan, there has to be a valid transaction. So now the question is, do you have to have a valid transaction here for it to be considered Kabbalas Achrayis? The Paiskim say it depends on what the minig hamokim is, what is the custom. If the custom in that area is that responsibility is not considered being taken until there's a kinyan, so without a kinyan, it's not considered there was a Kabbalas Achrayis. However, if the minig hamakom is that there is Kabbalas Achrayis, that you're responsible even without a kinyan, then the halacha is the kinyan will not be required to have a situation of Kabbalas Achrayis. Ki hod amar Rava l'bnei Mechuzah. Like Rava told the people of his town, Mechuzah, Be'iru chamira de b'nei chaylu mebeteichem. Remove the chametz of the soldiers, the goyish soldiers from your houses. Kivin de'ilam migvud ve'ilam misvud. Since if that chametz that the soldiers used to leave in the homes of the people of the town, which they expected the people of the town to prepare the meals with the chametz they left in their homes, if that chametz were to be lost or stolen, brishusi koi, it's your responsibility, or bas l'shlumei, and you would have to pay, kidulchayim dami, it's considered like it's yours, for us and you're not allowed to keep it. Since they were makabla chrayis, it's also. There's machlaikis, Rambam and Ravid, if somebody is forced to hold something of someone else's, is that considered Kabbalah Achrayis? The Ravid says that no, I didn't accept it at all by will. The Rambam, however, based on our Gemara, says that since we see that the people of Mechuzo were considered that they were responsible for the chametz of the goyim, even though they didn't willfully accept the chametz, we see that even if it was accepted against the will, it's considered kabbalas achrayis. The Ravid explains it wasn't against the will, that was the law. The law is the law, and that doesn't mean that it was done by force. When somebody was forced to accept something, that would not be considered kabbalas achrayis. Now the Mefarshim ask, why couldn't the people of Mechuzah just be mevatel the chametz that the soldiers left by then? So the Shagas Aryeh explains, according to Tosfos, who we explained that Tosfos says that the concept of bitul chametz is hefker, so we can understand why bitul wouldn't have worked. You can't make hefker something you don't own. But according to the other Rishonim, that say that hefker is only nullification, so they should have nullified the chametz. They don't want it, and that should be adequate. So Maram Shik explains that wouldn't have worked, because when I nullify chametz, it means I really don't want the chametz. I don't want to have this chametz. I don't want to own this chametz. Here, the Jews did want to keep the chametz because they wanted to be able to give the goyim back their chametz should the goyim come to ask for it. So that's not considered a legitimate bittul if you really want to keep it, in case you want to give it back. And that's why bittul couldn't have worked here. Now the Paiskim also point out that even though normally the halacha is that chametz sh'ovel av ha-pesach is asur, that if I own chametz over Pesach, I'm not allowed to have any benefit from that chametz after Pesach. Here the halacha would be that if the Jews kept the chametz of these soldiers, and the soldiers came after Yontif to take their chametz back, it would not be considered that they're benefiting from the chametz, and they could give back the chametz to the guy, because it was the guy's chametz all along. Ask the Gemara, why is somebody chayiv for keeping the chametz for which he accepted responsibility? Because Hanich Leman Domer, there's a machlokes throughout Shas, if Dover Hagoyim Lamamakam Mamadami, if something that could cause a benefit of money is considered money. So here too, since I'm responsible, so even though it's not mine, but if I'm responsible to pay for it, that's why I could say that I am chayiv if I have the chametz for which I'm responsible. But according to the mandam, it says that just because it gives me financial benefit, that doesn't mean that I own it. Michael Amemus, so just because I have responsibility for this chametz, why is it considered that I'm over by Rabbi Matze? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hachadam Loyim Matze. But the Torah is saying, the Torah is including any situation in which I own, have chametz, even though I don't actually own it. Ikadamri, others say, According to Manda Mamar, who holds that something that only can cause benefit of money is not considered money. That's why the Torah had to teach us a pasuk of Loimotzei, that even though I don't own the chametz, as far as the halacha for Pesach is concerned, I do own it and I'm responsible. According to Manda Amar that held, why do I need a pasuk? Of course I'm responsible. It could cause me financial benefit or loss. Answers the Gemara Itzrach. I still need a pasuk even according to that mandamer. Sakadat chmina. Hoil v'chi isei hada be'enei. Since where the person could come pick up the deposited item and just remove it, and it still will be the owner's, lav b'rushusekai. So it's not considered in the possession of the Jew, because he could just give it right back as it is. So maybe I would think that even though Dava Garmel Mamun Kamam Dami, here it's, you will not be responsible, Kamash Mulan, that's what Lahimatsi teaches us, that you're responsible. And Rabbi Chanan has a Shaila, what is the Pasuk teaching us here? Is the Pasuk teaching us that as far as Pesach is concerned, we say Dovah Garm L'mam K'mam Dami? Or is the Pasuk teaching us, not that we normally say Dovah Garm L'mam K'mam Dami, just Pesach is a special rule? There's another Shaila, which the Mefarshim ask, and that is, our Gemara only discussed the Halacha of a Goy's Chametz. If I accepted responsibility, that it draws a distinction in explaining the brisa between the case where I accepted responsibility for it versus where I did not accept responsibility for it. What about Hegdish? That the brisa also seems to have a contradiction by Hegdish. Will the same distinction apply? So some Mefarshim say that it will. However, the Tzlach says that this distinction will not apply by Hegdish. Since Hegdish, even in the case where I take responsibility for it, it still never really becomes mine. It belongs to Hashem. That's why there is no distinction, and even in the case where I accept responsibility, the halacha will be that I'm not chayif bal yimotzei if I have the chametz of Hegdish in my rishus. Bar minei mirava, behemer sanuna, the animal that's subject to royal tax, chayeves b'chayra en chayeves b'chayra, is a chayif and b'chayr or not. The halach is the first born animal, male animal, that's born from certain types of animals, every Jew has to give to the kohen. But that halach only applies to a Jew's animal. If somebody has a partner, a goy, in the animal, he doesn't have to give that to give b'chayr to a kohen. The rule was that from every animal, they had to give certain portion to the king for tax. That's why some Mefarshim learn. Other Rishonim learn that the king had a right to demand animals that were born. And since the government has that ownership in this animal, the Gemara's question is, does that make this animal potter from Bechor? And like Mefarshim explained, this is a perfect continuation of the previous Gemara, where it's not that the government has actual ownership in this animal, but it has rights, and just like in the previous Gemara we learned that once I have rights or responsibilities, better said, in the chametz of a goy, I'm chayiv for bayiro bayimotza. Here too, the fact that the government has rights in this animal gives it the din of an animal that's owned jointly with a goy, and there's no chiv b'chayr. Says the Gemara, wherever the Jewish owner could just pay off the government by giving him money instead of the portion of the animal that he owns, he's certainly chayim b'chayr, because the government really doesn't own a share in the animal. Where I actually have to give a portion of the animal. My, what's the halacha? Amalahu. So Rabbi answered, Potter. Your Potter. It's considered animal owned jointly with a guy and your Potter. Ask the Gemara about Tanya, we learned on a Braisa Chayevis, that it's Chay Bechor. Answers the Gemara, Hotsom, the Matzim Salaklei. The Braisa that says that Yechay Bechor is talking a situation where it could give the guy money, I don't have to give him actually a share in the animal. And Tosfos draws a distinction between an animal which was always a Jew's versus an animal that was once a guy's and now a Jew's. And he says an animal that was once a guy's and now a Jew, even in a case where I could divest him by paying him off, it would not make a difference, and there's a Torah from Bechor. Ikka d'Amri, a different version of this Gemara. Amar Rav Behemus Anuna Ptorim Mechayra. Animal that's owned, that the government has a lien on because of the taxes, is part from Bechor. Even though he could pay off the guy just by giving him money, the government by paying off money, it's not enough. However, Isers Anuna, Chayevus Bechala. The halacha is that from every dough, if the right amount of dough is made out of certain types of grain, a portion has to be given to the kohen. There too the halacha is that if this dough is owned in partnership with a non-Jew, there is no chiyuv in challah. So says the Gemara that the flour, that the dough that the government has a lien on, is still chay b'challah. V'avagav d'lay matzum selakalei. Even though we can't tell the guy go away by just paying him money. My tama, what's the reason? Why is dough treated more chumridig than an animal? Answers the Gemara, Behema is like kala, isal is like kala. Animal has publicity, dough has no publicity. So the way Rashi explains is that an animal, everybody knows that the government has a share of my animal. So when I don't give the animal as a bechor to a kohen, everybody will know why I didn't. Because the government's my partner in it. There's a goyish partner, partner from bechor. On the other hand, by a dough, not everybody will realize that the government has a share in this dough. So if they'll see me not giving dough, this to the kohen, they'll think that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give chal and I'm not. That's why, because of Maris Ayin, Rashi explains, I have to give challah from this dough to a kohen. And the Rashba points out that even though the entire chiyuv is only because of Maris Ayin, rightfully I wouldn't have to give challah because there's a goyish partner. We still make a bracha when you give this challah to the kohen because it's a chiyuv drabonon, and we make brachas even on something which is mechuyim drabonon. There are other rishonim that say since the entire chiyuv is only because of maris ayin, we don't make a bracha. The halacha is like Rashi, the way Rashi explains, and we do make a bracha. Others explain like this: by animal isle kohla, the government certainly heard that I had this animal. There's no way I'm going to be able to get out of paying the tax, and that's why I have to, I'm potter from Bechor. However, by an I make a dough, says the Ritva, the government may not hear, I may not pay the tax, and that's why I have to give Tchala to the Kohen, because I may never give the government a portion of this dough. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara just the opposite. Behema is like Kala. A behemoth has a call. Everybody knows I had an animal. Everybody knows I had a bechor. And now if I won't give that bechor to a kohen, everybody's going to wonder, why didn't I give it to the kohen? On the other hand, dough, they won't know that I didn't give it because the government is a partner in it. A dough, on the other hand, people don't know that I made a dough. And therefore, if the government is a partner in it, I'm potter because it has a goyish partner, where halacha is that you don't have to give challah when it's a non-Jewish partner. Tana Rabbanan. Nachri shenichas lechatzer yisra yisrael b'tzeka b'yodai. If a non-Jew walks into a Jew's courtyard with dough, the halacha is ein zakuk levar. There's no chiv to destroy it. And Rashi explains, of course there's no chiv to destroy it. It's not my dough. It's his. So Rashi explains, the chiddush of the Gemara is that I would think that when the Torah says ba yirah ba yimotze la yirah lecha ba yimotze, you're not allowed to have chametz in your rishus under any circumstances, even though you don't own it. That's why the Gemara teaches us that if the guy comes in with his own chametz, there's no problem. However, if the guy deposited it with the Jew, he has to destroy it. If the Jew designated a room for the chametz and zakuk levar, then he doesn't have to destroy it. It should not be found. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. My kamar, you're using a pasuk of lo yimotzei, which means you're not allowed to have it, to teach us that you don't have to destroy it. Amra papa reshika, it's going on the beginning. If kida etzloi, when the guy deposits the chametz by you, then aloch is zakik levar, you have to destroy it. You know why? Shnem lo yimotzei, because the Torah says you're not allowed to have it, that's why you have to destroy it. Ravasham lo yimotzei sefer, it's going on the sefer. And this is what the Brice means to say. If a Jew designated a room for the chametz, ain't zaki klavar. You don't have to destroy it. The chametz should not be found in your home. It's not yours. The nachrik kamayel, because when the guy is bringing the chametz, based on the nafshik kamayel, he's bringing it into his own home. Since I designated a place for this chametz, so the chametz belongs now to the guy in his space. It's just like I rented out a place in my home to the guy, and that's why I'm not chayif. Now Rashi explains that the Gemara here is discussing a situation where I was not mekabel achrayis for the chametz, and since I designated a place, I'm not chayif. Now the Rishonim ask Rashi, if I was not mekabel achrayis, we already learned at the beginning of today's shir that I'm never chayif by guy's chametz. So that's why the Rishonim explain that it's not that I explicitly was not mekabel achrayis. I accepted the guy's chametz into my rishus without saying anything. Where the Gemara is telling us, according to Rashi, that if I designated a place for the chametz, so then the chametz belongs to the guy in his own designated area, and I'm not chayiv. If I didn't designate a place, that it would be chayiv, even though I did not explicitly accept responsibility. Tosfos explains the Gemara very differently. Tosfos says that if I didn't accept responsibility, I'm never chayiv. The Gemara's chiddush here is, says Tosfos, that even though I accepted responsibility, but since I designated a place for the chametz of the goy, it becomes the goy's chametz in his own rishus, and therefore I will still be potter on Bayiro or Bayimotze. And really the same question the Rishonim say comes up if I took my chametz, a Jew's chametz, and brought it to a guy's home, what will be the halacha? The Goyim paskin that it makes a difference if the guy designated a place or not. If the guy didn't designate a place, so if he accepted responsibility, perhaps I'll be potter. If he didn't accept responsibility, it's still considered my chametz. But if the guy designated a place, so that place in the guy's home is now my place. Therefore, even if the guy accepted responsibility, I will still be chayiv. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says a very big chiddush. He says, if I take my chametz and leave it in a guy's home, without informing him, without his consent, without his knowledge, I will be potter. Because since I left it in his home without his knowledge, so therefore the chametz is not in my rishus, it's in the guy's rishus. He didn't designate a place for me, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that in such a case, I'll be potter from Bali Ra, Bali Matzah, for only chametz on Pesach. So what are we saying? That by designating a place, it becomes the guy's area. Ask the Gemara, remember the Schiris Kanya? Just by rental or designating a place, it becomes the ownership of the guy. But now, we learned in the Mishnah, in Masecht Avodah Zarah, after Mokum Sh'amar Lahaskel, even a place where Chazal said you're allowed to rent a house to goyim who serve Avodah Zarah, loy lebeis tira amr, you're not allowed to rent it for a place where they can live, because they bring their idols into that area. If you're going to say that when you rent the place to somebody, it becomes his own area. So what's the difference if he brings Avodah Zarah to that place? He's bringing it into his own home. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Shani Hacha, here by Chometz is different. The Afka Rachmana B'Loshon Lo Yimotze, since the Torah used a different type of terminology, it used the terminology of Lo Yimotze, Mi Shemotz B'Yotcha. The only time you chayef for Chometz is if it's in your hand. Yotzeh Sherimotz B'Yotcha. This is not considered in your hand. That even though you own the Chometz, even though you own this home, and maybe for other halakhas, it's not considered the goy's home. As far as Hilchos Chometz is concerned, it is considered the goy's home if you designate a space for him, and you will not be chayiv under such situations for Bayiro and Bayi Motzah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hamoytzei Chometz Rebeisa B'Yontif, if somebody finds Chometz in his home in Yontif, Koyfola as a Kli. He should put a keli on top of it, so he shouldn't accidentally come to eat it, and that's enough. So Rashi explains that the Gemara here is discussing a situation where it was already mevatel the chametz. Since I was already mevatel the chametz, midoraisa, there is no problem. The only issue is midrabanon. So therefore, midrabanon, Chazal said, it's enough just to turn over a keli, not to eat it. And that will keep me away from eating it. But, explained the Rishonim according to Rashi, if I was not mevatel the chametz, there I would have the responsibility to get rid of it. And they, most poskim say, I could not get rid of it by just burning it, because I'm not allowed to burn chametz, as we learned in yesterday's shiur on Yontif. I would have to get rid of it in another way. There are other Rishonim, the minority, that say that I'm even allowed to burn it, and some say even in a case where I was not mevatel it, I should still just turn over the keli and wait till Matzah Yontif and then get rid of the chametz. The halacha is that if you were not mevatel the chametz, you should burn it, you should destroy it, not burn it on Yontif. If you were mevatel chametz, as the Gemara says here, koifel as a kli. Tysus asks, we learned the Mishach the Shabbos, ain't keli nittel el tzarf davar nittel. That on Shabbos you're not allowed to take a keli only for the sake of something which in itself is not muksa. So how could I take the keli here, asked Tysus, to cover up the chametz which is muksa? So Tysus answers that it's talking in a situation I'm already holding the keli in my hand, and since I'm already holding the keli in my hand, I could take it and cover the chametz with it. To pick up a keli, however, specifically to cover chametz, according to Tysus, first pshat would be awesome. Tysus' other pshat is that because chametz is so serious, that's why Chazal will makel and allow you to take a keli to cover it up, to avoid you from chas v'shalom eating it. Rabbi Chanan Vassman has a different teretz. He says, when I'm carrying the keli, I'm not carrying the keli letzoruch the muksa, I'm carrying the keli letzoruch the people, that the people shouldn't come chas v'shalom to eat chametz on Pesach. Ain't keli nittel, you're not allowed to take a keli letzoruch davish and a nittel letzoruch a muksa. I'm not taking a letzoruch muksa, I'm taking a letzoruch a person, and that's why it's mutter. Amar Rava, however Rava says, imshal hegdishu, if the chametz belongs to hegdish, and it's tzarech, this is all not necessary. My tamas, since it's hegdish, mivdol bedili minei, people stay away from it by themselves. Vamab Yehuda Merav, chemtze shal nachri, the chametz of a goy, oisloi mechitza asar tfachim, you have to build a petition around it of 10 tfachim, mishum heker, as a reminder not to eat it. Vimshal hegdish, but if the chametz belongs to hegdish, and it's tzarech, it's not necessary, my tama, again, mivdol bedili minei, people stay away from it. So the Tzlach asks, why does the Gemara have to say the same concept twice, that by hegdish, mivdol bedili minei, people stay away from it? So Tzlach answers like this. In the first case, where it's on Yontif, and as Tysus told us, there's a concept of the Ein Keli Nittel El Tzarech Davar Nittel, that's why I say, since it's Hegdish, I stay away, and I have no right to take a Keli. Here we're obviously talking about Chol HaMoed, because I can't build a partition on Yontif. So maybe, since it's a Chol HaMoed, even by Hegdish, perhaps the Tzlach, I would think, that there I should do something to separate myself from the Chometz, tells us the Gemara that by Hegdish, people always stay away from it, and even a Chol HaMoed, I don't have to do anything. And the halacha is that I have to build this partition on Chol HaMoed. The Magen Avraham says the partition has to be a sturdy one that could withstand blowing back and forth. And now the shaila is, what's going to be the halacha And why do I have to build it? So the Mefarshim explain, because since it's going to be by me all of Yontav, the chametz of the Goy, I'm not going to destroy it like the chametz, my own chametz. Therefore, I have to build a petition to stay away from it. What's going to be the halacha if a Goy only left his chametz by me for one day? So there, do I still have to build a petition or not? The Magen Avraham says that if it was only brought to me for a short amount of time, for one day, there the halacha will not require me to build the petition. However, the Prima Gadim disagrees, and the Prima Gadim says that under all circumstances, a guy's chametz, you have to build a petition, even if it's only going to be there temporarily. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Somebody goes out to the sea or is going on a caravan for a long trip. If he leaves his home before 30 days before Pesach, ain't tzarich levarer, he doesn't have to dispose of his chametz. Tarish shloshim yoyim, it's within 30 days, zakek levarer, he has to dispose of it. Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, hada amar tarish shloshim yoyim tzarich levarer. That what you said, that within 30 days, he has to dispose of the chametz. That's only if he returns to return home before during Pesach. If he doesn't intend to return home, he doesn't have to dispose of it. So Rava says to Abaya, if he intends to come home, any time during the year, he has to dispose of the chametz. And the Mefarshim explain Rosh Hashanah. The Beis Yosef says it doesn't mean necessarily Rosh Hashanah. It can mean even the day after Pesach. If I leave my home the day after Pesach and I tend to come back next year Pesach, but I'm only going to come on Pesach, the halach is I have to dispose of the chametz. Alam Arava. Hadam Mekadim Shloshim Yom Ein Zakek Levarer. The halacha is that if you leave before 30 days before Yontav, you don't have to dispose of the chametz. Lo yamar elish ein data lachser. It's only if you don't intend to return during Pesach. Avol data lachser, if you intend to return during Pesach, afil Rosh Hashanah, any time of the year, zakik levar, you have to destroy the chametz. So the machlokes of Rav Abaya is as follows. According to Abaya, this halacha only applies within 30 days before Yontav. And we'll see soon what the significance of 30 days is. Before 30 days, we don't have to worry about the chametz. According to Rava, it depends. In 30 days before Yontif, I always have to dispose of the chametz. Before 30 days, it depends if I intend to come home or I don't intend to come home. And the way the Mefarshim say, the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch brings down both shitas, Abaya's Rav and Rava's shita. And the Mishnah Berurah says, L'chatchila, a person should be makbid for Rava Shita. That if he leaves his home, even before 30 days before Pesach, and he tends to come home for Pesach, he should do Bir Chametz. Unless, of course, he leaves at home a wife or adult children who could do the Bedikas Chametz and Bir Chametz. Then he doesn't have to do anything. They'll do the Bir Chametz if he doesn't make it home. Also, the Mefarshim explain that both Abaya and Rava will agree that in all circumstances, even in the situation where you don't have to do Bir Chametz, Bittel Chametz, wherever you are, you'll have to do. The Taz says that the Bedikas Chametz should be done at night with a candle. Most Paiskim say that a bracha should not be made unless it's done on the night of Erev Pesach. And you have to be careful not to bring chametz back into the home afterwards, says the Taz. Rabbi Yosef Engel explains what is the machlokes of Abaya and Rava, that according to Abaya, before 30 days before Yontif, I don't have to be concerned about the chametz at all, and according to Rava, I do. He says the machlokes is, what is our perspective to a mitzvah? According to Abaya, a Jew doesn't have to be thinking about a mitzvah that's far off. There's no chiv to the mitzvah yet. So if it's before 30 days before Yontif, we don't have to be thinking about Pesach. According to Rava, a Jew has to be thinking about the mitzvah all the time. And therefore, even if it's the day after Pesach, I already have to be thinking about next year Pesach. Continues the Gemara. V'oz the Rava Tamei, and Rava is going according to his own Shita. Dama Rava, Oitzer Beisoy Oitzer. If somebody is going to make his home a warehouse, he's going to fill it up with produce, piling it up on top of his chametz. Kodim Shloshim Yoyim, it has to be 430 days before Yontiv, Ein Zakik Levar, he doesn't have to dispose of the chametz. Tai Shloshim Yoyim, if it's within 30 days, Zakik Levar, he has to dispose of it. So we see that he makes this distinction between 30 days and not 30 days. The Kodim Shloshim Yoyim Nami, and even before 30 days, Loya Marin El Shein Datal Efnoisai. It's only when he does not intend to clear the house out on Pesach that caused the chametz to become exposed. If he intends to clear out the house during Pesach, I feel even though it's before 30 days before Yontif, Nami Zokik Levar, he still has to burn the chametz. Now, the Mishnah Brura asks, everybody agrees that if you leave your home within 30 days before Pesach, and you intend to come home for Pesach, since we're concerned that you may only come home during Yontif, you have to burn the chametz. So why, if a person takes a trip, let's say Rosh Chodesh Nissan, doesn't he have to burn the chametz, do bedikas chametz and beer chametz before he leaves? So Mishnah Brura says the halacha taki is that if he's going on a trip where there's a possibility that he will get delayed, even though his every intention is to be home well before Yontif, he has to do beer and bedikas chametz. Only if it's not usual that a person taking this type of trip with the plans that he has will have a problem getting home, is only then, says the Mishnah Brura, will there not be a chiv to do bir chametz or bedikas chametz. Ask the Gemara, Hanish Loisha Yoimai Vedatayu, what is the significance of 30 days? Says the Gemara, Kretanya, Shoyal and Vedarshim Hilchas of Pesach, Kainam of Pesach Shloshim Yoim. We have to learn Hilchas Pesach for 30 days before Yontif. Shimon Gamaliel, Aim Meshtei Shabbosos, Shimon Gamaliel says 2 weeks. My time of the Tanakama. Ask the Gemara, what's the reason of the Tanakama that says 30 days? Says the Gemara, Shnerei Moshe Oyim the Pesach Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on regard during the first Pesach. The Mazra Pesach Sheni was telling Klai Yisrael about the Alokas of Pesach Sheni, which is 30 days later. Shnema V'yasu B'nei Yisrael as a Pesach B'Mo'adoi. Klai Yisrael made the Pesach in its time. V'ksivei Hi Anoshim Shoyu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam. And there were people that were Tomei and came to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu about it. And like Tosfos explains, Moshe Rabbeinu was really just responding to a question. So how do we know that the halach is he has to speak about Pesach 30 days before? So Tosfos says, Moshe Rabbeinu should have just answered the question. Why do he say more halachas? It must be to teach us that you speak the halachas 30 days before. From Shimon Gamliel Omer, either the Arab and Mila the Pescha, since he was speaking about the halachas of Pesach, Maskla will call Mila Pescha, so we tell them other halachas. But not that there's a chiv to talk about it a month before. My time of Shimon Gamliel, what's the reason of Shimon Gamliel? Says the Gemara, Sha'omer Rosh Chodesh, Moshe was standing on Rosh Chodesh, on Mazar ala Pesach, and was teaching them about Hilchas Pesach. Shnama Chodesh is Elohim Rosh Chodeshim. V'ksiv davar l'kol das b'nei Yisrael leima be'esel chodesh hazeh. Tell Klais on the 10th day v'yikru Yisrael le'beis office, everybody should take a sheep for Korban Pesach. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, it wasn't 2 weeks in advance, it was 10 days. So the Pnei Yeshua says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't only tell them on Rosh Chodesh the halach about the Korban Pesach, which was relevant 10 days later. He taught them all the Hilchas Pesach, which were only relevant 2 weeks later. Ask the Gemara, "Lemay deberesh yarchakoy?" Who says that this took place in Rosh Chodesh? Dima ba'arav yarchakoy bechamish yarchakoy. Perhaps it took place on the fourth or the fifth day of the month. El Amar of Shimi ben Shmei de Ravina mehocha. V'daber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana Hashenis b'chodesh Harishon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe in the Midbar in the second year in the first month. V'ksiv yasav bnei Yisrael a Pesach b'mayadai, and they should make the Pesach 2 weeks later. Ask the Gemara again, how do you know that this took place in Rosh Chodesh? Perhaps it took place the fourth day or the fifth day of the month. Arav Nach by Yitzchak, Asya Midbar Midbar. We make a Gzer Shavi. Here it says the word Midbar, and it says the word Midbar in another pasuk. Ksiv Hachav Midbar Sinai, Ksiv Hosom, V'yadaba Hashem HaMoshe B'Midbar Sinai, Bo'oil Moyed, Bech... Be'echad l'chaydish Hasheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe on the first of the second month, Ma'alaham b'Rosh Chodesh, just like there, took place in Rosh Chodesh. There it's talking about counting Klal Yisrael, Afkam Rosh Chodesh. This Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about Pesach also took place in Rosh Chodesh. And that is the halacha, Shoyalim behilchas haPesach, Koydim lePesach, Shloshim Yoim. The Pesachim discuss, what does this mean? So the Beis Yosef says it means that if two people come to ask a Rav a Shaila, within 30 days before Pesach, one is asking a Shaila about Pesach, and one is asking a Shaila about something else, the Shaila about Hilchas Pesach comes first to be answered. It takes precedence. Others say that that's the halacha. The person has to spend the 30 days before Yontif learning Hilchas Pesach. The Rishonim ask, the Gemara Masecht Megillah says that the halach is that you have to learn Hilchos Yontif on Yontif. So there it says you have to learn it on Yontif. Here it says before Yontif. So they draw a distinction between Hilchos Pesach and all other Yom Tovim. And all Yom Tovim, the halach is that on Yontif you have to learn the halachos of the Yontif, not necessarily before. But by Pesach, there's a new chiyuv that you have to learn Hilchos Pesach not only during Pesach but for 30 days before Yontif. And the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha says there's certainly a chiyuv that there should be chaburus groups in shuls spending time in the month before Pesach learning Hilchos Pesach. And he says not only groups but every yachid should also learn Hilchos Pesach before Pesach. As far as other Yom Tovim, most Paiskim are makel by Chanukah, Purim, and Shavuos. Sukkot is a Shaila. I saw a vart from the Klausenberger Rebbe, Shalom V'Darshim Hilchos Pesach. So he says, what does it say, Shalom V'Darshim? It should say, Lomdim Hilchos Pesach. So he says that the Gemara is teaching us that not only does somebody have to learn the halachas of Pesach, but he also be Shoyal V'Darshim, he has to gain levels in Yirah Shamayim. Before a person comes to a holy Yontif, a Pesach, he has to prepare himself spiritually for this Yontif. Shulchan Aruch Rav says that this halacha is not that relevant in now times, since we have Sfarim that are printed with all the halachas that could easily be found. We don't necessarily have to learn the halachas before. On the other hand, I saw from Rabbi Yoshev says that on the contrary, a person who really wants to know Hilchos Pesach has to spend more than 30 days before Yontif to learn the halachas if he really wants to know them well. Ask the Gemara, we quoted two psukim that speak about Rosh Chodesh, but the pasuk that took place on the first day of the second month, which speaks about the counting of Klal Yisrael, is mentioned before the pasuk about Pesach, which took place in Nisan. Ask the Gemara, v'nichta b'reish the Chodesh Rishon, shouldn't the Torah have written first what took place in Chodesh Nisan, which is the first month, v'hada nichta of the Chodesh Sheni, and only after that write about the counting of Klal Yisrael, which took place in the second month? From here we see there is no specific chronological order in the Torah. Omra Papa says this is only when it's in two different parashias. Avol b'charin yoni in one parasha, may the mugdam mugdam, what comes first is first, or may the mucha mucha, what comes later is later. If you're not going to say that, we know that one of the ways we learn halachas from the Torah is klal prat. At first Torah says a general thing, and then it says a specific thing, ein b'chlal b'mash b'frat. We say that the prat limits the klal. But if there's no specific order, dim prat or klal hu, who says that the klal came first? Maybe the prat came first. The su, another rule that we have. Prat the klal, we have a specific, and then we have a general rule, nasa klal moisa prat. We say that the klal adds to the prat. Again, who says that it's really a prat or klal? Dima klal prat hu. If we say a mugdim ruch betar, there's no specific order. Ask the Gemara, yach afil betrayin yon inami. Even in two parshias, we all should say that there is an order. Because ha nichlamandomer, there's machlaikas klal prat and ruchakum zem zeh. if you have a klala prat, but they're not right next to each other. Ain't dinus of a klala prat, that doesn't have the status of a klala prat. Shocker. So I can understand. You know why? Because only in one parasha do I say that there's a specific order, and two parashas there's no specific order. Elamanda Amid Donin, but according to Manda Amid, it says that even if they're not next to each other, we still say it has the din of a prat or klal, or klal or prat. Michael Meimer, why? Why don't we say that since it's two parashas, we should say ein mugdam luch b'tayra? Says the Gemara, feel Amanda Amid Donin. Even the man the Amid that says that if the klal and prat are right next, are not right next to each other, we can learn it as a klal or prat. Hanimil b'chadin yonah, they still have to be in one parasha. And in one parasha, we say there is a specific order. Alban train yoni, if they're in two parashas, ain't donim, everybody will agree that we can't learn it. Why? Because ain't mugdam amucha b'tayra. Taisha says that even though we're saying that in two parashas there is no specific order, we still say it regarding the Seres Adibris, that in parashas Yisroi in Sefer Shemais, and in parashas Veschana, which is in Sefer Dvarim, since they're both referring to the exact same moment of a Seres Adibris of Kabbalah Satira, there we would do say that the order makes a difference, even though they're so far apart. The Masham uses this concept of Ein Mugdam Amucha B'Tayra for Halacha L'maisa. The halacha is that a person has to, every Shabbos, do Shnai Mikra V'Echa Targum. Says the Masham, let's say somebody skipped a week, so the halacha is that he can make it up until Simchas Torah. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody missed a week and he wants to, and now it's next week Shabbos, he skipped Parshas Shemois and now it's Parshas Ve'era. Should he rather do Parshas Ve'era, which is this week's parsha, and make up Shemois when he has the time? He can't do both parshas, he doesn't have time for it. Or should he rather go in order? So says the Masham, since we learned in our Gemara Ein Mugdam Amucha B'Tayra, it's preferable to do Parshas Ve'era, which is this week's parsha, and you'll make up Shmois as long as you make it up before Simchas Torah. The Sfarim explain Ein Mugdam Amucha B'Tayra means like this: Ein Mugdam, you have people that are Baruch Shem from birth and they were able to learn Torah, and you have people who are Mu'ukhar, that are Bali Tshuva, that began learning Torah later in life. Ein Mugdam Amucha B'Tayra, when it comes to learning Torah, the fact that somebody was Mugdam, that he learned Torah earlier, doesn't make a difference. As long as you learn, and you learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, that's all that counts. Another pshat that I saw in Ein Mugdam Amucha B'Tayra is that we know that the Gemara Masechta Bracha says there are three ways how a person could avoid doing an Aveira. He could realize from where he comes, from a Tipa Serucha. He could recognize where he's going to end up. We're all going to end up no longer in this world. Or a person could be B'Tayra. He could do Tshuva and know what to do and do the right thing because he's learning Torah. A Mugdam Amucha, there is no need to recognize from where you come. But there is no need to recognize where we will end up, which obviously doesn't bring happy thoughts. But Torah, if somebody learns Torah, that is the best way to serve Hashem.